Good morning, everybody. Good to see you, or good to be seen by you. Just praise God for what he's doing. It's a unique time, but we love it. God is doing some really, really cool things. I want to get in right into our message today. What I'm teaching today in our transformation series, Faith Works Transformation, is this. You can have your anxiety transformed into peace. That's a truth. It's absolutely true. This is not just a local thing. I've talked to friends in the last couple of weeks from Sri Lanka, from Romania, from France, from Ecuador. And in those places, it's even a bit more crazy there than it is here. It's truly a global issue. And there are a lot of people that are suffering in anxiety and stress. Some people even around here are starting to struggle with the stress of, well, do I have to go back? I kind of like this slower pace. I like it that the streets are less crowded, and or maybe you've been in the whole time and you don't even know that. But the thought of going back now that things are opening up, maybe for some of you, that's causing you a bit of stress because you don't want to. You kind of like this different pace. In the chat bar on the side, maybe you can ask each other this question. How do you feel now that you've heard that the shelter in place, at least up till now, has been extended to the end of May? Or how do you feel about the potential of going back? Does that cause you any kind of, you know, anxious thoughts or anxious moments? Well, I want to tell you this. We should not be surprised when stressful times occur. They're normal. No matter where you are in life, if you're breathing today, you're going to face a stressful time. But Jesus said we don't have to let that stress go to worry and anxiety. You see, the stress part is not really the problem. That's a normal part of life. It's what we do with it. That's the big part of the problem. They're inevitable, but the worry and the anxiety, they're not inevitable. Let's look at those words I just used, and let's try to figure what those really mean. Stress, worry, anxiety. Let's start with stress. Stress is defined as the resistance to pressure or tension from external forces, mental or emotional strain from adverse or very demanding circumstances. So there's something outside of us, a circumstance, an event, a pressure or a tension that comes against us. Now, it's important for us to understand that stress is not necessarily bad, that we purposely put our bodies under stress when we want to get stronger, that engineers put buildings and bridges and things like that purposely under stress to keep them strong, that these forces push against each other, and that gives them some stability. That these stresses do come from outside forces, though, or outside circumstances. Maybe right now for you, the outside circumstance that's causing you stress is a lack of work, or financial issues, or maybe a spouse, or the lack of a spouse. Maybe it's decisions that you have to make, or a health issue that's come upon you. That these things that you didn't necessarily choose, but they're on you, and now you have to deal with those things. Any of these external forces may exist at the same time, and it's not the actual force that's the issue, but our resistance to it. Something is happening, we don't like it. We don't want it there. Something is coming against us and or putting pressure on us, and we think that we need to change it, push back on it, avoid it. It's that resistance, and that's what creates the stress. No one really resists the things that are good. The good things don't necessarily cause stress. In other words, if your boss came to you and said, you know, I just need to give you an extra 2 months of vacation. Now, some of you are saying, well, we just had that, you know, at home. But let's say in a normal world, if your boss said that, I want to give you 2 extra months of vacation, you wouldn't be stressed about it, except for maybe a little bit of stress of trying to figure out what are you going to do now with those extra 2 months. Or if your boss said, you know, I'm just going to really give you, you know, a triple your income raise, and I'm just going to give you more money, you wouldn't really stress out about that money. You wouldn't say, oh, boss, please don't give me any more money. You're stressing me out by all the extra income. You know, well, you can say, give it to Pastor Greg, let him stress about it. It's the things we like that we don't necessarily stress about. It's the things we resist that causes the stress. And that's just inevitable. That's part of life. It's what we're going to have to deal with every single day. You can't avoid the forces outside putting pressure on you. You can only avoid responding to those things in worry and anxiety. Okay? So stress, not always bad, can be good, going to happen to all of us. Number two, worry. Worry is defined as a state of uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Worry doesn't help you with dealing with your problem, but it certainly steals from your today. Worry doesn't take away today's problems, it takes away today's peace. You start dreaming up scenarios of what might happen, what could occur, what is potentially going to be the damage. And you drive yourself crazy worrying about something that hasn't really even occurred yet. We borrow trouble from somewhere that we don't need to have in our life. You allow things to control your thinking and those things you can't control. Why do we allow things we can't control to control our thinking? Well, because we're out of control. At least we feel that way. You see, I want to tell you, you're not out of control. You're out of God's control. And that's really the remedy for worry. But we'll get to that in a little bit. It's worry is typically about the unknown and the uncontrollable. And I want to ask in the chat bar, you can reveal a little vulnerably. Are you a worrier? Do you tend when you get under stress to shift into that? You know, what am I going to do? How's this going to work? I don't see the end result. How am I going to make this happen? And you have a tendency to shift into that worry zone. Well, that's probably quite a lot of us. But God says that worry is not going to help you and that we shouldn't worry when we get into stressful situations. Well, the next word is anxiety. Stress is normal. Worry is not a good thing. Jesus said, don't worry about anything. But when we let our mind to be fixated on worry and the uncontrollable, it then turns into anxiety. Anxiety is defined this way. The internal lack of peace caused by worry over stressful situations. See, if all of them put together, if we allow stress to go where it shouldn't go, it develops into worry. And when worry starts to grow and we fixate on that, it leads to anxiety, which is a peace robber. The anxiety is in our life and it just takes the peace out of our life. And have you ever noticed how contagious anxiety is? Anxiety is worse than a coronavirus, man. It spreads. Just get around people that are anxious and they start making you anxious. Get around people that are worried and panic and kind of freaking out. And they tend to have a contagious attitude around everybody else that's around them. Anxiety is in a room or in a family or in a meeting, the person who's anxious tends to be the most powerful person in the room. They can sway everybody else because they're so worried, so nervous. Oh, this could happen. That could happen. What if this happens? And they tend to then grab the whole room because nobody else really has the wherewithal to squash that. We kind of just go along, which I think in many cases, we felt that in our country. Not that we're not facing a very, very dire and serious issue, but fear and the contagiousness of fear has really caused a lot of people a lot of problems and a lot of struggle. So what happens when we get anxious is one of two things. Some of us are action-oriented. And when we get anxious and worried and we think, we got to do something, got to do something, got to do something. And we start to act rashly. And you make bad decisions because you're acting out of that anxiety without pausing to think it through. Others are the ostrich version, where you just stick your head in the sand and you think, if it can't see me, or if I can't see it, it can't see me. And we get paralyzed and we do nothing and we get depressed and we withdraw. And that inactivity is not healthy either. So those two poles are bad. That we act rashly or we don't do anything at all. And those are each a problem. See, once again, the issue is that you're not out of control. You're out of God's control. God says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. He's got you. So in this introductory part, there are three truths I want to give you. Number one, truth number one, you cannot avoid stressful situations. Wherever you are in your homes, can you repeat that with me? I cannot avoid stressful situations. You can't. They're normal. Every time you get in your car, it's a stressful situation. Every time you have to make a decision, it's stressful. Number two, when stressed, you can choose to worry or to trust God. You have a choice. You have a choice. That's a truth. You can choose. And number three, truth, if you choose to worry, you will embrace anxiety and you will forfeit peace. Let me say that again. It's a truth. If you choose to worry and resist trusting God, you will embrace anxiety and you will forfeit peace. Joyce Meyer said it this way, and I like this. She says, you give Satan a toehold, he takes a foothold, and it becomes a stronghold. That's a great truth also. You give a little, he takes more, and now you're stuck. And I think a lot of us are stuck today. We're stuck in this, you know, trap, in this quicksand of worry and anxiety that we don't need to be trapped in. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus gives us some answers that we can transform that anxiety to peace. And I want to give you five of them this morning. Five ways to transform your anxiety to peace. Number one, it's the simplest and the most obvious. You can already say it in your mind. You got to pray. You've got to pray. We spent 6 weeks from the end of February to Easter Sunday talking about prayer, 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 prayer. The reason we talk about prayer is because prayer is the key. It's the foundation of practically, it is the foundation of everything. Prayer and the Word of God. And so we've got to be prayerful people. Prayer is not some religious nicety that we just kind of do, you know, at dinner time and, or, you know, we put the kids to bed or, you know, maybe we quote the Lord's prayers, some kind of religious thing. No, prayer is the key to get serious with God and to pray. A prayerless life is an anxious life. I'll tell you, that's a fact. If your life is prayerless, I guarantee that you've got anxiety. Because you don't know where to turn. You don't know who's in control. You don't know the mind of God. You don't know the will of God. We've got to pray. Philippians 4:6 says this, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. You catch that? That's direct to us. Don't be anxious. But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you react to stress in worry or fear, you do things you don't have to do. You do things you don't want to do. You do things you end up regretting. Have you ever regretted something you did when you did it in a moment of anxious fear? But when you pray, when you feel the stress coming on, instead of worry, instead of letting that go into anxiety, you go to the Lord and pray, then powerful things can happen in your life. Let's look at that verse. Don't be anxious. That's a command. It's a given. But pray with thanksgiving. This is how you deal with stress. God, I'm stressed. I don't know what to do. It's hard. It's difficult. Okay, that's life. Welcome to the human race. But how do we deal with it? With thanksgiving, we pray instead of getting anxious. When that happens, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. If you don't pray, the peace of God won't guard your heart and mind. I want a guard over my heart and mind. I want there to be a big shield and a big force field between the worries and the anxieties of this world and my heart and mind. But if I'm not a prayerful person, that's not going to happen. And that's exactly why a lot of us are stressed and anxious, or rather worried and anxious. The peace of God will control and help you control the way you think and the way you feel. Anxiety to peace, that transition is right at prayer, right there. Jesus truly is. The person of Jesus is the cure to your anxiety. Say, oh God, I don't know what to do. Wow, the peace of God guards your heart and mind. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. The situation is, what am I going to do? Whap, the peace of God. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Guard your heart and your mind. Well, what if it doesn't work out? The peace of God. He will guard you. He will protect you. But not if you don't pray. You leave yourself wide open to the anxieties of this world. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus speaking, he says, come to me, Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's the answer. Come to him. Come to him to pray. Come to him to fellowship. 1 Peter 5:6, verse you know, great verse. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Put them on him. I love that word cast. It's the word of taking something like a rock or I think of a baseball and take it and throw it as far as you can. That's casting. Take that worry, take that anxiety and throw it as far away as you can and say instead, God, I'm trusting you and I'm going to pray. Transformation step on number one, pray and cast your anxiety on the Lord. If you're anxious right now, you're feeling that strain, you're feeling that pressure, you're worried about it, right now, make the decision. God, I choose to cast this away, and I'm going to pray instead. And watch how God, his peace will guard your heart and mind. Number two, fight worry and anxiety in the mind. Isn't it amazing how everything's in the mind? Change your mind, change your life. We learned that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about the tongue, and it was the same thing. Change your mind, change your speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Change that, and your mouth will start speaking differently. Same here. Everything starts in the mind. The renewal of our life, the transformation of our life starts in our mind. It all starts there. I love Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says this, he, God, will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Stayed, rooted, anchored. Bolted down on him. When your mind is stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Doesn't that sound like what we just talked about? Don't be anxious, but pray and he'll guard your heart and mind. He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Now, you've got to then realize what your mind is staying on, or it's what it's anchoring on, or what it's listening to. Listen, you won't have peace if you're listening to all the media craziness right now. I've had to turn off the news. I don't watch it very much anymore because it was making me nuts. It was making me more anxious. And whoa, that's not where I want my mind to stay. I want my mind off of that. Don't listen to, be informed, but don't let the words of all the different political stuff get into your mind. It'll make you crazy because your mind will be stayed on that. And that's not where the peace of God is. The peace of God is when it's stayed on him. Keep your mind not on the media. They're good at what they do. They know how to twist and how to spin the words. Keep your mind stay there. You'll be confused for sure and anxious. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Listen, many of you are anxious right now. You're worried right now because your mind isn't stayed on God. Your mind is not stayed on him. Your time in the word is lack. Your time in prayer is lack. Your time meditating on his truths are lack. And then you wonder why you're worried and anxious. Well, there's your answer right there. I love this next verse. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The reason I love this so much, and we don't read the context very often. Let me read you the context of Psalm chapter 46 in which we find that verse. Here's what it says. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isn't that powerful? Around that phrase, be still and know that I am God, is chaos all around in those verses. The wars and violence and raging and just crazy all around. And in the midst of that, this verse, be still and know that I am God. God is your fortress. God is your refuge. God is your rock. God is your never-changing shelter in the time of trouble. God is there. Be still. In the midst of all that's going on, that's normal. That's stress. It's never going to stop. But to keep that from getting into worry and anxiety, in the midst of all that, be still. Think about him. Think about him. It's all in the mind. Fight it in the mind. Who is he? He is my fortress. I don't need to worry. Who is he? He is my strength. I don't need to become anxious. He's your God, and he's there. The work here is to believe. John 6:29, it's one of our favorite verses here at Abundant Life. We say it a lot. The work is to believe. That's the mind. What's going on with you right now? How are you struggling, wrestling? The work is to believe. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He doesn't change. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present. He's your God. Be still and know who he is. Your transformation step. Remind yourself every day who God is. Remind yourself every day who is God. And meditate on that. And you'll find him guarding your heart and guarding your mind. And you'll be at peace instead of stress and anxiety. Number three. You have a choice not to worry. You have a choice not to worry, not to become anxious. Three verses I want to give you. I love these verses, John 14 and John 16. John 14, 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. John 14, 27. Jesus is speaking, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. In John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Aren't those great verses? Now listen, the context of those verses is Jesus telling the disciples he's leaving. That created stress in their life. Guys, I'm going away. You're not going to see me anymore. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But you don't really know anything about him yet, so that's kind of hard for you to understand. But don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm here to give you peace. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Over and over and over. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Folks, you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You don't have to shift into worry. You don't have to shift into anxiety. You can pray. You can fight the battle in the mind, and you can choose not to go there. Instead, you can choose to trust him. Instead, you can choose to meditate on who he is and on his promises. Worry and anxiety, they are predators. You figured that out, right? They want your mind. Worry and anxiety are just like these beasts. And they just want to get in there and they want to eat away and eat away and eat away at your mind, at your confidence in God, at your confidence in life. Anxiety is always a deceiver. It will steal, kill, and destroy. Worry is a liar. It makes you doubt God's presence and power. Those things have to be rebuked. You have to choose not to worry and not to be anxious. Transformation step here. Learn to say no to worry and anxiety. When those thoughts jump in, say, no, I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about his goodness. I'm going to think about his presence. I'm going to think about his promises. Worry, I'm telling you right now, you're a liar. No. Anxiety, you're trying to trick me. You're trying to deceive me. The answer is no. I'm going to focus on the truth and trust in God. Focus instead on his peace. Number four, when you're choosing, choose God thoughts. And we're kind of morphing from point to point here, overlapping a little bit. But it's important that we get these distinctions. Pray, fight it in your mind. You have a choice. The choice is to choose God thoughts. Number four, Colossians 3, 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Very similar to that, if he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Set your mind on things above. It's hard to think in today's world. With all the bombarding messages, you've got to choose what you're going to set your mind on. You going to set your mind on that? On the buzz, on the noise, on the all that chaos, which is filled with lies, by the way, making you afraid, making you worried, making you anxious. No, instead, focus on God's thoughts. That's what we can choose to do. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," or NIV says of self-discipline. You can control it. You can choose. God has given you that spirit. Where's your anxiety coming from? Ask yourself that right now. If you're worried and anxious, where's it coming from? Well, that verse says it's not coming from God. He did not give you that spirit. He didn't give you the spirit of worry. He didn't give you the spirit of anxiety. So where'd it come from? Well, it either came from your own flesh, but it definitely didn't come from God. It may have come from the devil. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Know this, your fear, your worry, and anxiety, that did not come from God. So if you're worried right now, if you're anxious right now, you're not thinking God thoughts. You're thinking some other thoughts. It says he gives you instead a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of anxiety. Cast all your cares upon him. God has not given you a spirit of worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first his kingdom. God did not give you a spirit of that stress that overcomes and transitions to worry and anxiety. Come to him and he'll give you rest. That stuff didn't come from him. I love 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." When you're weakest, when you're fearing, when you're just feeling pummeled, it happens to all of us. You're not unique in that. You're not being, you know, singled out, and God's not abandoned you. We've all faced it, that we have a choice to choose God thoughts. Let me give you some God thoughts this morning. You say it's impossible. God says all things are possible. You say, "I'm too tired." God says, "I'll give you rest." You say, "Nobody really loves me." Jesus says, "I love you and I died for you." You say, "I can't go on." Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient." You say, "I can't figure things out." God says, "I will direct your steps." You say, "I can't do it." God says, "You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." You say, "Well, I can't forgive myself," or "I can't forgive others." God says, "I forgive you, and I've given you the power to forgive." You say, "I can't manage." God says, "I will supply all your needs according to my riches." You say, "I'm afraid." He says, "I've not given you that spirit of fear." You say, "I'm worried and frustrated." He says, "Cast all your cares upon me." You say, "I'm not smart enough." He says, "I'll give you wisdom." You say, "I feel alone." God says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Over and over and over, there's a God thought to challenge every worry thought, every anxious thought. Transformation step, start a discipline of memorizing the Word of God. This week, start a discipline. If you listen to my podcast, I've just started this week of adding a scripture memory portion at the end of every podcast to help us remember verses. This last week's was, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." That's a verse I need every day. Start a discipline of memorizing God's Word. Last, number five, stay connected to God's people. The first four are all really directed toward God. Pray, fight the fight in your mind. You can choose to not let your heart be troubled. Choose to think God's thoughts. And that's where we have to stay. But this last one is really important too. Stay connected to God's people. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." You felt that. I know you have. "But a kind word cheers him up." Fellowship with someone who has a kind word will cheer up an anxious person. That's powerful. I love Philippians 4:10-14. I'll just quote a little bit of it. Paul is saying this, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I can do everything who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles." Paul is talking to the Philippians there, and he's saying, "You know, I really got to thank you that you sent me some financial help. You supported me." He says, "Now, God's my supplier. He'll meet my needs. I've learned to be with and I've learned to be without. I've learned to be hungry and I've learned to be well fed. I've learned to be clothed and I've learned to go without clothes. I've learned to deal with all of that. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. But, guys, thanks so much for helping. It really, really blessed me." That's what he's saying to them. Thank you. Thank you for helping me out. You see, guys, we need each other. It's so hard to chase away the worry and anxiety all by yourself. He told us to bear each other's burdens. That a cord of many strands is not easily broken. We need each other. I love this other verse out of 2 Peter. It's the same context of the one we just read about casting your cares. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10 says this. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. That's the choice. Fight it in the mind. Stand firm in the faith. Choose God thoughts. Because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, we're all in this together. We're all going to suffer somewhat. He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's a community thing. We know we're all in this together. We know that if we support each other, bless each other, strengthen each other, we will see restoration. We will see strength come into our lives. So when you have these anxious and worrisome moments, it's really important who you hang out with. Hang out with godly people who can build you up. Now, that's not to say resist people that need the Lord. No, because you can be their strength. They're freaking out. You can be the one that gives them that emotional lift and that freedom from worry and anxiety because you've got the peace of God. But sometimes when you're in that bind and you're struggling, you need to get with people that really can help you rise out of the worry and anxiety. If there's someone in your life that's just negative, 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 it's always impossible, never going to work. It's always, you know, a gray cloud, never the silver lining. It's always the worst scenario. Probably a good idea to get away from them when you're really battling with worry and anxiety. Instead, get next to somebody who's got possibility thinking, who's thinking, you know what? It's tough right now, but God is good. He's our Father. He's a good Father. He's all powerful. He's promised us he's going to meet our needs. He's going to be with us and never forsake us. You know, you need people like that. I need people like that. When I'm struggling, I want somebody else to throw me that emotional and spiritual lifeline and pull me up. We need each other. Right now, more than ever, when isolation is tough, why aren't you in a Zoom group? You need it. I'm telling you right now. You need the connection. Hey, get connected with God's people. Because in order to transform from anxiety to peace, we need each other in our lives to pull each other out of those times. In your chat bar, I want you to maybe write a name of someone. Who's someone that gives you peace instead of worry and anxiety? Who's someone that you think, you know what, this person, when I'm around them, I feel more peaceful. I feel less worried and less anxious. Is there someone like that in your life? Write their name right there. Maybe it's someone in our church, and I'm sure they'd get a kick out of seeing that they're the person that really helps you. We need each other to pull each other up and out. Transformation step, stay close to the people of God, encourage and protect each other. It's powerful. Church, I love you so much, and the world needs us. The world needs us. If they're freaking out, who's going to be their people to bring them out of worry and anxiousness, anxiety? It's us. We're the people that have God. So let's move here and transform from anxiety to peace. And you start by prayer. A prayerless life is an anxious life. Fight the battle in the mind. It's always, always in the mind. The renewal of your life happens in the mind. Choose to resist worry and anxiety. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have a choice. Choose God thoughts. Replace those anxious, worried thoughts with the powerful promises of the risen Savior. And then get around people who share those same values. Now also, be a source for the lost. They need you. But when you're struggling, get around those positive folks. It's powerful and important. Last scripture, Jeremiah 17 says this, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He does not fear and has no worries." Isn't that great? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He does not fear and has no worries. That's what we need right now. You know, I'm grateful to God that he gave his life for me, that I could have peace. I could have peace with God. There's no longer any animosity between us because of my sin. But now we have close companionship. I have peace with God. I also have peace in my own life. No matter what happens anywhere in the world, no matter what happens in my life, and there are some tough times. I'm not making light of tough times. What I'm saying is in the midst of those, you can have peace. Because God is the God of peace. The scripture calls him the Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. You can transform your anxiety to peace because Jesus gave his life. I'd like you to get your elements, the bread and the cup, if you have those in your homes. If you haven't prepared them yet, you know, I don't care what you use. Grab a cracker and a glass of water. The elements is less important than the heart that's being expressed. But take those elements right now. Taking my piece of bread, symbolizing the broken body of Jesus Christ. We have peace because of the anguish he suffered. We have peace because of the strain of our Lord Jesus taking on the sins of the world, past, present, and future, on his body. And his body was broken. Not just by the whips and the spear and the nails driven into his body and the crown of thorns, but by the weight of the sin of the world. I'd just like us to pause. And I'm going to pray that if you're worried and anxious today, that by taking this bread in your hand and in just a moment taking it into your mouth and into your body, that you will take in God's peace. And as you do, receive that and then begin to be strengthened to resist any of the worries and the anxieties of the world. Let me pray for you, then we'll take the bread. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You have promises for us. And those promises were made active by your death on the cross. We now can lay hold of them because you conquered sin and death. Your body was broken under the strain of taking our sin. And now we can truly live righteous, not in our own righteousness, but in your righteousness. Today we choose to release worry and anxiety. Instead, we choose to embrace the Prince of Peace. We come to you, Lord Jesus, because we are weary and burdened. We cast our cares upon you because we know you care for us. We will keep our minds stayed on you and know that you will give us peace. I thank you, Lord, for your broken body. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body broken for you, for your peace." Let's take it together. Remember him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your peace, God. Thank you for your peace. Now take the cup. My cup has a little juice in it. It's representing Jesus' shed blood. The shed blood represents the forgiveness of our sins, the washing of our sin. I'm so thankful my sins are washed away. Therefore, I have peace with God. Not because of anything I did, but because of everything Jesus did. I simply accepted what he did. You can too. I sure hope your life is at peace with God. That you've accepted him as your Savior. If you have, then you have the ability to take this cup and know that you're set free. If not, you can pray right now. Say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want your peace. You are my Lord and my Savior, and I accept you." It's as simple as that. We can have peace in our life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, You died on the cross, and when you did, your blood was shed. Like the Passover lamb in Exodus that was placed upon the doorposts, death did not come upon people who were covered under that blood. When you died for us and your blood was shed, once and for all, your blood covered us, that we would not see death, but we'd be set free from that and therefore have peace. God, when death is no longer a threat, what greater threat can there be? We thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood to cover us, to cleanse us, and to give us peace. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. After that Last Supper, Jesus took the cup, said, "This is the blood of my new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. Take it, drink it, when you remember me." Let's receive the peace of God by the shedding of Jesus' blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That chorus is spinning in my mind right now. Would you just sing it with me? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Lord, we don't have to be slaves to fear, slaves to anxiety, slaves to worry. We're children of God. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to, by faith, the work of faith, transform, be transformed from anxiety to peace. I pray also, Lord, that we would be salt and light in this world, affecting others so that they also can transform from anxiety to peace. The world around us does not have anywhere to turn but to you. Help us, Lord, to show them why. Because we're a people of peace. I praise you, Lord, and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's do this. What do you think? Let's remember the last three messages now. It all starts in the mind. As we renew our mind, our tongue can be renewed. As we renew our mind, we can move from anxiety to peace. This is powerful. Hopefully you're seeing your life change week by week as you submit it to the Lord Jesus. Now it's a long haul. It's not going to switch like that. But as we put these things into practice, you see, God's word is true. Let's practice that this week. Get into a Zoom group this week. Go to the website, look at all the options. Do that. Get connected. We need each other. Drop off some food at the front of the church when you come by. And let's just keep praying for the world around us. They need Jesus, and we are his body. Let's be that this week. God bless you. Miss you. Love you. And we'll see you soon. Amen.